भोगाइश्वया प्रसक्तानां थया पाहृत चातिस व्यवसायात्मका बुद्धिर समाधान बदीयते। That those who are too much attached to material opulence and sense gratification, the resolute determination for devotional service cannot take place. So why do we come together on beautiful evenings like this? In this world, there are many types of parties and festivals. In every corner of the earth, people come together for entertainment, for enjoyment. Or else they come together for some sorts of meetings, conferences, by which they can plan out future enjoyment, sense gratification. So in this world, the spell of Maya is alluring everybody, individually as well as collectively, simply to seek out material opulence and sense enjoyment. When the devotees of the Lord come together, they do not come for this purpose. They come for one purpose alone, for purification. The purpose of this human form of life is purification. Because janma mrityu jara vyadi dukkha dosha anudarshanam, Krishna explains, a wise man knows that the real problems are birth, old age, disease, and death. And what is the cause of birth, old age, disease, and death? Illusion. Na jayate mriyate vakadachin nayanbupa bhavita vanabuya ajonite shashvato yanpurano nahanyate hanyamane sarire. For the soul there is neither birth nor death, nor having once been does it ever cease to be. The soul is unborn, undying, primeval. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. It is not slain when the body is slain. So what is death? Death is the grandest illusion. When we forget the reality of our true existence as eternal soul, omaivamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashtanendriyani prakriti stani karishati, which is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, Krishna, we simply struggle very hard in this material world, trying to avoid at every step birth, old age, disease, and death. But it is unavoidable. Ariatmaka, aridaivaka, aribhotaka. These threefold miseries. We are subject to all of them at any time. We cannot escape. Even the greatest, most powerful, most wealthy persons, they cannot escape through all their endeavors. We see that everyone ultimately is embarrassed and humiliated by the material energy. People are very attached to their false pride, but through material nature, Krishna brings everyone down to their knees. Krishna shows everyone who is supreme and who is subordinate in due course of time. And yet we are very much inclined to clinging, to holding on to our own opinions, to our own ideas, to our own pride, prestige. For what? For our enjoyment. And when people come together today, even in the name of religion, people come for some prestige. Sometimes there are conferences, interfaith conferences, in the name of God. And all big gurus and all big politicians, they come. And they're on television, and they get garlands put on them, and they're next to other big people, and they get their pictures taken with famous people. They give their talk, they leave. They don't want to hear anybody else. They come for their prestige. And even in the Western world, perhaps in India too, when people go to church and synagogue, everyone's looking who has the nicest clothes, which woman has the nicest wardrobe, which woman has the most colorful sari. And the one that has the most nicest, everyone's thinking, oh, how nice, very nice, you are so beautiful, your dress is so elegant. And the lady is thinking, oh, you see, everyone is attracted to me. But little does she know that although externally they're praising her, internally they're burning with envy. They hate her. This nonsense, wretched woman. She's wearing the sari that I should be wearing. Let her die. That's what you're thinking inside. But externally you're saying, oh, you are so beautiful today. Oh, thank you very much. My life is perfect. Everyone is envious of me. That's material life. But when the devotees come together, they simply come together for purification. They know that this pride, this desire for prestige, this desire for to enjoy material opulence, to be entertained for the pleasure of our senses, it is all the very root cause of death and bondage and illusion. So therefore we singularly come together for the purpose of purifying ourselves of these anarthas, anarthi nivritti sha. And of course, Krishna, who is the Paramatma in the heart of everyone, Sarvasya cha aham hridishani vishro mathasmitir jnana pohanam cha vidaischa sayaveraham eva vejo vidanta kridvide vedeva cha aham. Krishna is in the heart of every living being. He knows our every desire. He knows our ulterior motives. We cannot cheat him. If we truly come together for the purpose of purification, that Krishna will make all arrangements for our purification. And purification is oftentimes painful. When you are diseased, to get purified is painful. It means to strip away all of those disease elements within our heart that we have attached ourselves to throughout our life. But at the same time, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of his infinite causeless mercy, he has made it joyful. We come together to chant the holy name of the Lord, to dance in the sacred kirtan of the holy name, to hear the subject matter of Krishna consciousness, Krishna katha, to show our mutual love and respect for one another on the basis of helping to enthuse each other in this process of Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Anandam Budivaradanam Pradipadam Bhunam Ritashvaranam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has made this painful experience of purification joyful. And when Lord Sri Krishna sees that we are sincere in this way, he will make all arrangements to help whatever is necessary to purify our minds and our hearts. So tonight, I am very much convinced that by the chanting of the holy name, we have certainly invoked the divine presence of Krishna. Because Krishna knows past, present, and future. In Gita, Krishna says, Vedaham samatithani bharatamanani charjuna bhavashani chabhutani mamtu veda nakashjana. Says that I know everything that's happened in the past. I know all things that are happening now, everywhere, and I know all things that are yet to come. And I know every living being thoroughly, but me no one can know in full. So Krishna makes arrangements according to how we approach him. So we have all come together for one purpose and one purpose alone, for purification. We have come to invoke the divine presence of the Lord in the most magnificent and most powerful of all forms, the chanting of his holy name, Nam Sankirtan. And Krishna, how gloriously he is reciprocating. How he is making his presence known tonight for the purpose of our purification. And I'll tell you how we can understand this. We chant the holy name, asking Krishna come to purify us. What does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Of purifiers, I am the wind. What ignorant person thinks that this is just the climatic condition of Bombay? You may say, oh, it has been windy for several days. Ah, Krishna knew that on this night, in honor of Chaitanya Chandra's return to Bombay, in honor of these three wonderful New Vrindavan devotees, Raymuna, Tilakini, and Jennifer, that we would have this wonderful program and we would all chant the holy names. So Krishna wanted to prepare the scene so we would get maximum purification. As purifiers, I am the wind. He came, he incarnated to purify us. So we should be very grateful. We should feel this beautiful, wonderful wind as Krishna himself coming to purify our lives. You see, when you invoke the mercy of the Lord, you have to be prepared for anything. Krishna's name is Hari. That means he steals away all our bad qualities. And how does he do it? Recently I heard someone saying that whenever I'm around you, Hare Krishna devotees, everything goes wrong. Trains are late, planes are late, cars break down. When I'm anywhere else with anyone else, everything's all right, on time, nice. I have to examine what's happening. This is the evidence that Krishna is most manifested in this movement. Because Hari means one who steals away all your attachments to your worldly endeavors. You see, what is the grand illusion of this world? That will, Krishna says in Gita, Ahankara vimudha. To be the controllers. We want everything to go my way. When I want the plane to leave, it must leave. I'm the controller. I'm the Lord. When I want this train to leave, it must leave. When I want people to do as I say, they must do as I say. But when you chant the holy name of Krishna, be prepared, my friend. Everything will go wrong. Because in order to purify your heart, Krishna must rip from the core of your heart this demoniac propensity to lord it over material nature. To accept I'm not the controller. I'm simply the grateful recipient of God's mercy. I'm always subordinate to Him. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yovidatati Kaman. There is one supreme internal Krishna, Narayan. Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Padam Shita Ashanti Suraya. And all others, infinite living beings, jivatmas, are subordinate to Him eternally. That is our constitutional position. We are not controllers, we are not doers. We are simply the humble servants of the Lord. And to purify our hearts, Lord Hari has to steal away all of these misconceptions. He must steal away all of these illusions and make us simply content, satisfied with whatever Krishna wants. Isn't that the position of a good servant? Does a good servant ever demand of the master? The good servant is simply, my dear master, my dear Lord, whatever you like, I am here to assist. Huh? Whatever makes you happy, heaven or hell, that is not my concern. So therefore, this tendency to lord it over material nature, to lord it over other living beings, must be purified from our heart. And therefore, Krishna takes great pleasure. He actually has lots of fun to dismantle all of our plans. Huh? Just to show us who's who. What is what? The truth. And when we are willing to surrender with a grateful and thankful heart in any situation, then and then only will we see Krishna. We can go to the temple and see the form of the Lord. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, do not try to see Krishna, but try to render humble service to Krishna in such a way that He comes to see you. Tathe nukam tham sushamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipagam ridvagva purvir vidadham namaste jivetaye mukti pade sadaya bhak. Lord Brahma prays that, my dear Lord, when one is put in the most painful suffering condition, and in that condition doesn't complain, doesn't criticize, but with folded hands says, my dear Lord, thank you very much. I deserve so much worse. All the sins I have done through so many innumerable births. You are so kindly giving me a little portion just to purify my heart. Thank you, my Lord. Such a person who has that consciousness in that situation, liberation is his rightful claim. So a devotee is not particular about what type of mercy he receives from Krishna. After all, a servant is grateful for anything. We must have faith in the words of Bhagavan. Sarva Bhoktaram Jagasapasam Sarva Lokamaheshwaram Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Mam Shanti Mrijjati. Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam means that Krishna is the best, well-wishing, loving friend of all living beings. Sarveshwareshwara Ishwara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karanakaranam. He is the supreme controller. Not a blade of grass can move without His sanction. So how much a devotee is conscious of the mercy of the Lord in every situation of life. And of course, we benefit or we degrade ourselves simply according to how we're willing to receive the mercy of the Lord as it is coming. Maharaj Chitraketu, when he was cursed to go to hell, he was happy. Thank you, my Lord. Thank you, Goddess Parvati. Everything you said about me was not correct. I was misjudged. I was misunderstood. But I'm not blaming you, because nothing happens by chance. It is all God's arrangement. You think that I criticized your husband. Actually, I was glorifying him, but you just didn't understand. But now you've cursed me to go to hell and become a demon. Thank you very much. Now, with your permission, give me this great fortune of going to hell and becoming a demon. It is the will of God. And when Lord Shankar saw this, he was very happy. Narayana parasarave nakutashtina bibhyate swarakapavaraga narakeshu apitulyash darshanam. Lord Shiva said to Parvati, look at these devotees of Narayana. They are so unmotivated in their loving desire to please the Lord that to them, whether they're in heaven, whether they're in hell, whether they're liberated, whether they're in Vaikuntha, it makes no difference to them. They simply want to think of the Lord, chant his name, and please him. That is peace. If we have this faith that Krishna truly is our friend and well-wisher, then factually we can always be at peace. Not only in peace, ananda, we can be in great ecstasy. And this is the real nature of the consciousness within every living being. And to bring about this consciousness, the supreme purifier, Lord Hari, comes to our rescue. After all, who has the nerve to think that he can purify or she can purify themselves? This is another form of contamination. Maya is so tricky. She's so clever. She's so thorough and complete in keeping the living entity in bondage that even when you try to purify yourself, the process of purification becomes the cause of bondage because we become proud. Just see, I'm a very advanced devotee. I've given up so many attachments. I'm kind to everyone. I'm a great soul. And I'm going to purify myself. I'm going to do pujas. I'm going to give charity. I'm going to chant japa. I'm going to purify myself. This is another trapping of ego, ahankar. Krishna is pavitra. Om apavitra pavitro bha sarva vashtam gato piva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabayabhyantarasuchi. One who remembers the beautiful personality of Godhead is purified from within and without. That purification takes place by the mercy of Pavitra. Pavitra is the name of Krishna, which means the supreme pure. By associating with the supreme pure, we become purified by the mercy of who we are associating with. It has nothing to do with us. The common example, but do we really understand what it means? When you take an iron rod and put it in fire, it takes on all the qualities of fire. It becomes red hot. Is it by the power of the rod that it has become red and hot? It is exclusively by the power of the fire. That rod cannot make itself red and hot. Only by the grace, by the causeless mercy of the fire does it become red and hot. We can never purify ourselves to this exalted position of knowing God. But if we simply, like that iron rod, allow ourselves to just remain with Krishna, in that association with Krishna, we become purified by the mercy of Krishna. Pavitra. Simply by associating with the All Pure, by the mercy of the All Pure. Raga Vesha Vimuktaishtu Vishayan Indriyaishtadan Atma Vishaya Vidhyatma Prasada Madhigachati. Krishna explains that one who follows these regulative principles in the path of bhakti, sadhana, he obtains the complete mercy of the Lord. And by that mercy alone, he becomes purified. And what is the external manifestation and internal realization of that purification? One becomes detached. One hankers for nothing and laments for nothing. Nasochati nakankshati. One becomes attached to Krishna. So really, when we come together, we are simply coming together to invoke the divine purifying presence of the Lord. Krishna explains to Narada Muni, Tatra tishtami Narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. You have all heard that wherever my devotees are gathered together to chant my holy name, I make myself present in that place. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. That in this age of Kali Yuga, Manda Samanda Matayo Manda Bhagya Upadritha, which is an ocean of faults, there's one benediction that Krishna has incarnated within the sound of his name. During the time of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there was a devotee. His name was Murari Gupta. And he was a classmate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when they were young children. And one of the most intimate childhood friends of the Lord, when he was displaying his leela as Nimai Pandit. And by the grace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Murari Gupta, who is said in the Gaurogash Ganadesh Dipika to be incarnation of Hanumanji, he witnessed the Lord's wonderful, wonderful activities and heard his divine teachings throughout all the transformations within Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leela. And Murari Gupta, he took notes. He kept a very thorough diary of the Lord's pastimes. And he compiled a book. He named it Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Damodar Pandit, who was a very, very close, intimate associate of the Lord, he was also a very, very dear devotee, friends with Murari Gupta. So together the two of them very, very thoroughly studied, analyzed, and compiled the life of Lord Gauranga as they were seeing it day by day. Unfortunately, this Chaitanya Charitamrita Murari Gupta is no longer visible on earth. But what happened is there was a very, very sincere, empowered devotee. His name was Lochandas Thakur. And Lochandas Thakur, from his very birth, He was a very devoted servant of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he would hear the wonderful pastimes of the Lord. He came to a place, I think it was Katva, and there he met Narahari Saraka Thakur, and he accepted him as his spiritual master and accepted the mantra diksha from him. And this Narahari was also a personal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Damodar Pandit would regularly come to visit. And between Narahari and Damodar Pandit, they were constantly explaining the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Lochan Das, as they had personally witnessed, and they were constantly describing the diary of Sri Murari Gupta. So in this way, Lochan Das Thakur was very, very thoroughly revealed the intimate lila of the Lord. And, of course, Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is incarnation of Srila Veda Vyas, he wrote the Chaitanya Bhagavat just after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya. And Lochan Das Thakur was the next biographer. He was thinking that Vrindavan Das Thakur, who is Veda Vyas himself, he has explained the divine lila of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in such a wonderful way for the purification of all the world. But there are certain parts that he elaborated, and many parts that he was very concise and very brief. So he wanted to expand upon that. And he wrote a book that was called the Chaitanya Mangala. Vrindavan Das Thakur's book was also called Chaitanya Mangala. This was an elaboration. But later on, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, who the Acharyas accept to be an incarnation of Shukadev Goswami, he accepted that Vrindavan Das Thakur, who was none other than Veda Vyas, who wrote the Bhagavatam for Lord Krishna, this was the Bhagavatam for Lord Chaitanya. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pridayate. That Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya are the same, identical personality. So the Bhagavatam for Krishna is the Srimad Bhagavat. So therefore, Lochan Das Thakur, as well as Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, was thinking, since the same Vyasdev wrote Chaitanya Mangal, it is the Bhagavat for Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, they renamed his book Chaitanya Bhagavat, just to make it clear of the authority of this great literature. So Lochan Das Thakur explains in the beginning of the Chaitanya Mangal how there was a narration by Jaimini Rishi. It was called the Jaimini Mahabharat. This is a great literature. And in this, he is describing how Narada Muni, at the end of the Dwarapa Yuga, he could see the degradation of Kali coming in. Krishna was still on earth living in Dwaraka, in his 16,180 palaces. And Narada was thinking that, I know that very soon Bhagavan Vasudev, Sri Krishna, he's going to leave this world, and then Kali Yuga is going to come in, but he's strong. And what is going to happen to the unfortunate people who are going to be constantly misguided in every direction? So feeling great pity and compassion, he was wondering what to do. He wanted to beg the Lord to make some arrangement to deliver the conditioned souls in Kali Yuga. So Narada Muni went to Dwaraka. And he went to the palace where Krishna was living with Rukmini. And Krishna knew Narada Muni was coming. Krishna knows everything. So, in the presence of Sri Narada, Narada inquired, "What is going to happen after you leave this world? What salvation is there for the people of Kali Yuga? Will you abandon us? Or will you be with us? And how you will be with us? Please, do something." So Krishna explained that in the age of Kali Yuga, he will descend. But he will descend in the most unique and the most exalted way he has ever come to this earth. He will come to taste the sweetness of the love of Sri Radharani. He will come with the golden complexion of Srimati Radharani to show the world the perfection of love and devotion as Sri Radha loves Krishna, and show the way to attain pure love of God. When Rukmini heard the name of Radha, she began to weep, she began to cry, because she knows that Krishna, his love for Sri Radha, is so infinitely greater than for anybody else. She was fearful that if Krishna even mentions the name of Radha, he will become in such a trance of love that he may leave me forever and go back to Vrindavan. And in fact, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, written by Srila Sanatana Goswami, Krishna tells Satyabhama and the other queens, he says that all you 16,108 queens of mine, if I put you all together, my love for all of you, added up, it does not equal even a tiny portion of the love I have even for the most insignificant gopi of Braja. And the queens of Dwarka knew this. That is one of the reasons Krishna never went back to Vrindavan for a long time. Because if he did, the queens of Dwarka would die, because they knew that if he were to go back and see the gopis and Sri Radha, he would never come back to them. There was no question about it. So when Sri Rukmini Dev heard the name of Sri Radha, she began to cry, praying, "My dear Lord, please don't leave me. Please don't go to Vrindavan. If you go there, you'll never come back. Please stay here with me. I cannot live without you." And then she began to glorify the name of Sri Radharani. That there is no devotee, there is no manifestation higher than Sri Radharani. "Although I am goddess of fortune, even I, performing great tapasya at Belvan for so many days, I cannot enter into the beautiful lila of Sri Radhika and the gopis." And Rukmini, as if she had thousands of mouths, she just started glorifying the supreme exalted position of Sri Radhika Rani. And then Narada Muni, he said, "My Lord, please explain to me about how you're going to appear." He said, "I am coming in a beautiful golden form in this age of Kali Yuga to distribute profusely the supreme benediction to all humanity, the holy name of Krishna. I will personally taste the divine nectar of the holy name, and I will personally distribute it profusely without even considering a person's caste, a person's nationality. I will not consider whether a person is sinful or pious, whether a person is saintly or degraded, whether a person is a Brahmin or a chandala, untouchable. These worldly distinctions, which are so important in other yugas, will mean nothing to the golden avatar. Through the deliverance of the holy name, I will give everyone the supreme opportunity of attaining the supreme destination of pure love of God. So please, Narada Muni, have no fear. I'm coming. And Narada Muni was so happy. He was ecstatic. He was simply constantly immersed in meditation and expectation of perceiving this divine, beautiful, golden form of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu and taking part in the divine Leela of chanting the holy names with him. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nithananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So in this way, Srila Narada Muni, he made nice arrangements to be a part of this Leela. He incarnated in the Panchatattva as Srivas Thakur. And what was Srivas Thakur's special service to the Lord? Every night in his house he would arrange wonderful kirtans. And Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he inaugurated the Sankirtan movement, he would come every night. He would lock all the doors. During the day, Srivas Thakur, Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhara Pandit, Advaita Acharya, Lord Nityananda is none other than Balaram. And Sri Gadadhara Pandit is an expansion of the pleasure potency, Srimati Radhika. And Sri Advaita Acharya, he is Mahavishnu, Karanodakshaya Vishnu. And it is also explained that he is Sada Shiva. He is the original Shiva. The original Shiva is Narayan of Vaikuntha. And in this way, Srivas Thakur, he was Narada Muni. And every day they would go out into the streets, broadcasting in loud voices the glories of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And everyone was electrified by the divine mercy of the Lord through this chanting. It is described how merciful were these five personalities, the Panchatattva, that Srivas Thakur, he had a washerman who was from an untouchable class. He would wash the clothes. And it is explained that one time, this person, he had no devotion, no bhakti. He's just a materialistic person, most insignificant amongst men. One day while the kirtan was taking place in the streets of Navadvip Dham, he simply saw the beauty of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's dancing. And when he saw it, he just leaped in the air and started chanting, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And he never stopped chanting after that. He became one of the intimate associates of the Lord. He entered into the inner circles of the Lord's Leela. In this way, the Panchatattva, they plundered the storehouse of love of God and distributed it profusely, without discrimination in the least. But at nights, for the pleasure of Sriman Mahaprabhu, Srivas Thakur would lock the doors of his house. If you go to Mayapur Dham today, his house, that place is still there. It is called Srivas Anga. And in this Srivas Anga, all windows, all doors locked. Only the very confidential high devotees were allowed in. The common people would have to wait for the morning. Even the common pure devotees would have to wait for the morning. Only the Nitya Siddha Vaishnavas who were tasting the highest ras of Brijadham. It wasn't that they were exclusivists. It's simply that the ordinary person would become, it was not for their sake, it was for the ordinary people's sake. The kirtans in the street, everyone could enjoy. But in the night, they would go through so many ecstatic trances that the ordinary person would be completely bewildered. They wouldn't know what was happening. The transformations taking place. So it was actually out of mercy for them that they wouldn't let them in. So this Narada Muni, when he heard this message from Krishna that he was coming as Gaur Avatar, he personally incarnated along with him because he was given this hint that we will profusely deliver the holy name of Krishna. And how much he had that nectarine taste for the chanting of the holy names. You know how much everyone is attached to family members. One night during the kirtan, Srivas Thakur's son died of disease. And all of his family members, not all of them, but many of them, they were in another room weeping. And Srivas Thakur's son died of disease. And all of his family members, not all of them, but many of them, they were in another room weeping and crying over the death of the son. And Srivas Thakur, he heard crying, "What is this? Your son has died. Oh, my son has died. Well, keep your crying down. We don't want to interrupt Lord Mahaprabhu's kirtan. Gauranga is chanting and dancing. Just cry to yourself." Kind of like japitation crying. Keep it silent. And then he went to the atmosphere. So he asked Srivas, "Did something happen during this kirtan?" Shiva said, "Huh, my son died." "Your son died? Why didn't you tell me?" "Because I did not want to. This chanting of the holy name is more important. After all, whatever the karma of my son is, it's unavoidable. If we're chanting the holy name and he's in the house where we're chanting, that's the best thing we could do for him. Huh? We're giving a little purport here." It is a fact. Do you love your son or do you love your ego? That's the question. We cry when our son dies, but is that going to help the son? Simply crying? He doesn't hear your crying. He's gone. But as the soul, it is described that when the soul departs from the body, it hovers over the body for some time. And if he simply hears crying, it's going to attach him more to that body. And it's going to make death more painful. Actually, when we cry over the death of our relatives, we're actually doing disservice to them. They can't come back into that body. And when we're weeping, and they hear that weeping, what do? They think, "Oh, I'm causing my relatives such pain. I don't want to go. I want to go back in the body. But by the force of my karma, I'm being ripped away. It's painful. It's terrible." But if everyone is chanting the holy name of the Lord at that time, then the sound vibration of the holy name completely cuts all attachment of that living entity to his body. And he simply merges into the great joy of Hari Kirtan. And in that state, he goes on to a higher destination. So Srivas Thakur was actually showing the greatest love. "Let the kirtan go on. Stop the crying." People don't know how to love their children. People think loving the children means putting food in its mouth, putting clothes on its body, giving it a nice place to stay, filling its brain with all sorts of academic information. I am a good parent. These things are all right, but it is not love. Srivas Thakur showed us how to love a child by giving it Krishna. Everything else you can give it, but Krishna's first. everything else is essentially selfish, unless Krishna is added to it. Why do we say selfish? Because it's an illusion. The more we give people to maintain and enjoy their bodies, the more they become attached to their bodies. But if we give Krishna along with these things, they learn how to utilize for Krishna their education, their health. They'll eat nice food for strength and power, for the purpose of attaining the goal of life. This is love. But in Kali Yuga, people, they have a very confused idea of love. So Srivas Thakur showed us how to really love. Let the kirtan go on. He felt bad. He was feeling separation from his child. He wasn't hard-hearted. He was feeling as much separation as his other relatives. But in that separation, he wanted to give the child the highest thing. And he also knew that if I please Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, everybody will, when you water the root of the tree, everyone is nourished. If Mahaprabhu is satisfied with this kirtan, all my family members, everybody's going to go back to Godhead. So what do I have to worry about? Huh? So Lord Chaitanya said, he has died, bring me to him. So Lord Chaitanya went to the room where the child was laying, and there was not a single symptom of life in his body. He was clinically dead. But Mahaprabhu saw the love and the devotion in the mood of separation of the parents. So Sriman Mahaprabhu put his hand on the body of this child over his heart. And he said, "My dear child, why have you left your parents in this state? Come back. Chant the holy names." And the child came back. And all the devotees, they were so happy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the source of life. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. Says, I am the source of all material and spiritual existence. A mother and father cannot give life. Only God could give life. We are simply, when a man and a woman come together to create a child, they are just instruments by which God manifests His divine potency of giving life. And similarly, Krishna says in the Gita that I am death personified. Krishna is the giver of life. Krishna is the taker of life. He is the source of birth and the source of death. And Krishna says in Gita, for one who is born, death is certain, and for one who is dead, birth is certain. So don't lament over these things. Manmana bhavamad bhakto matyajim nam namaskuru. Always think of me. Become my devotee. Worship me, offer your homage unto me. In this way you will come to me without fail. Saravadharaman parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. Abandon all varieties of religion. Just surrender to me. And how to surrender to Krishna? By always thinking of him. And how to always think of him? How Lord Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu has made it so simple. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So when we come together to chant the holy name, to receive the supreme benediction, Cheto Dharapanamara Janam, given by Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu, when we come together to hear and chant the names and the glories of the Lord, we will know that this is the the most purifying of all endeavors in this entire creation. Krishna, who is non-different than his name, appears to purify those devotees who sincerely chant, who sincerely come together to inspire one another to chant his holy names. So we should be very thankful of purifiers. I am the wind. I think this is simply a confirmation that Krishna is very pleased with our kirtan. Of course, out of compassion, if we chant very nicely, Krishna may become so pleased that he becomes a cyclone and purify this whole city of Bombay once and for all. We will be thankful for that also. We will welcome it. When Srila Prabhupada was in Calcutta, during World War II, they were dropping bombs. People were running to fallout shelters. The Japanese were bombs coming down. Prabhupada was imitating, not imitating. Prabhupada doesn't imitate. He was actually revealing these bombs to us. He said, I was in my house cooking puris for Krishna. And everybody in my family and all friends were saying, there was sirens, and there fallout, you must go, there, you must go to the fallout shelters. And meanwhile, as the sirens were going, the bombs were dropping. Prabhupada did like that. But he did better than that. When Prabhupada did it, people didn't laugh. They were actually afraid. The bombs were going. It's the difference. Prabhupada, all the devotees were, my God, the bombs are coming. But when I do it, everyone laughs. That's my potency. So the bombs were falling. Huh? And Prabhupada was being induced to hide in the shelters. And he said, no, I will continue cooking my puris for Krishna. And he told us, intimately, he said, when I heard these bombs, all directions, they were dropping and dropping and dropping and dropping. Explosions everywhere. I was thinking, how merciful. My Lord has come in the form of these bombs. He was not afraid. He was welcoming. He was cooking puris. Krishna comes as a bomb. We should welcome him nicely by offering him some prasad. Special guest comes to your home. You cannot run away from him and hide from him. It's not Vedic culture. It's simply impolite. Let us cook nice puris for Krishna. However he comes, we are very much thankful to him. So let it be what it is to be according to the will of God. Let us always remember him. And let us help one another remember him by chanting his holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare. Is there any questions? Yes. Speak loud, please. It could be. It depends on your motive. Krishna reveals himself as you approach him. the chanting of the holy name has such a purifying effect. According to the Shastras, it is explained that when you chant the two syllables Rama or Krishna, by the time you finish one syllable to get to the next, that sound vibration has already traveled throughout the entire earth and throughout the entire universe and back. That is the power of the name of God, if it is chanted sincerely. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained that this sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy name, there is nothing more purifying to the entire atmosphere than that. Therefore, we should be chanting not simply for our own purification, but for the purification of all others. Of course, also for our own purification, because we can only give as much as we have. To the degree we are pure, to that degree we can help others become purified. So a devotee is actually always thinking in terms of service to others. Even in his own bhajan, in his own sadhana, in his own japa, he's simply trying to become purified so that he can be of better service of helping others come closer to Krishna. This should be our consciousness. Yes, Mahaprabhu. Actually, the internal reason behind what you are saying is this. You are speaking the words of a sannyasi. This is the way a sannyasi thinks, Mahaprabhu. So I think Krishna is revealing something very confidential through your own words. Just like Srila Madhvacharya, when he was only a young child, less than 12 years old, he was determined to take sannyas. He left home and went to his Guru Maharaj's house, Achyuta Pariksha, his ashram, and he didn't come home. He was going to take sannyas. He left home when he was only less than 12. And when his father and mother heard about this, they were brokenhearted, terribly in pain. So they went. So the father went to the ashram of the guru and begged his son, his name was then Vasudev. He said, please, you are just a child, come home. We love you. We've given you birth in this world. We've done so much for you. Please come home. He said, no, I'm going to take sannyas. No, you cannot take sannyas. Please, you must come home. He was very strict. He stayed. So then the father, he went and told his wife, and they couldn't. Their whole life was like a dreary void. He was the only son. So at one point, Achyuta Pariksha went on a yatra. He went traveling. And Vasudev went with him. At that time, the father, he went looking. He went to the ashram. They weren't there. He crossed various rivers, went into the forest. Finally, he found Achyuta Pariksha and his own son, a little tiny boy. He was begging, pleading, please come home. And at one point, the father of Madhva, he fell at the feet of his son and was pleading and begging, please, you must come home. And Vasudev, who was later to be known as Madhvacharya, he looked at his father and he said, this is a prophecy. Because an older man like you will never fall at the feet of a young child like me unless that child is a sannyasi. So Krishna is confirming through your very action that I should take sannyas. Mahaprabhu ki jai. Do you have any other questions? No. This is extraordinary. You have no questions. This is a historical moment in creation. Mahaprabhu doesn't have questions. Why is the wind called the purifier? Because through the air, through the wind, ultimately, in due course of time, ultimately everything is purified. Everything is resting within the air. And within the, it is explained in the Shastra that there are several ways of purifying yourself when you are contaminated, even physically. One is with water, one is with wind. If you simply expose your body to the wind, you are considered pure. If you bathe in water, you are considered pure. And the other is the holy name. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us, if you are in a circumstance where there's no water and there's no wind, you just chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But the wind is like time itself. Everything is within the air. And when the wind blows, we accept the verdict of Shastra that everything becomes purified. When there is a strong wind, everything is destroyed. But actually, in this particular chapter, what Krishna is explaining is how in every situation in our life we could remember him. That is most important. Whenever the wind comes, we should know that Krishna is purifying us. And with that grateful heart, we can always remember Krishna. It's actually the remembrance of Krishna that's purifying. Wind and water may purify the body, but Bhagavad Gita is not spoken to learn how to purify the body. Bhagavad Gita is spoken to learn to purify the heart. So Krishna is teaching us how in every situation of life we could remember Krishna, and in that remembrance we become purified. Krishna says, I am the light of the sun and the moon. Of purifiers I am the wind. Of aquatics I am the shark. Of bodies of water I am the ocean. So in this way, Krishna gives us a chance. In every situation of life, wherever we are, we can easily think of him, remember him. And in this way, the wind is actually the supreme purifier, because it helps us remember Krishna, because Krishna teaches us to remember him in this way. So externally it is purifying, but Krishna gives us the key to understand how internally it is most purifying. Any other questions? I told that story of Madhvacharya because he is also an avatar of Vayu, the wind. So I wanted to glorify the wind by glorifying his intimate expansion in the form of Srila Madhvacharya.